You might like to turn in your Bible to Psalm 23. And in our taking the little break from Jeremiah, as we did in the light of the holiday, to remind ourselves that God's Word, with all of its recipes, with all of its wonderful little formulas and principles, and all of them, and all there, they're all there to be enjoyed, understood, exercised, and all of them, from Genesis to Revelation, are there. And no matter which way you go, you'll end up with God. You'll always end up with God. So that's the safety. All God said, all you want to know about God, read the Word, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have everlasting life, and they are those which are given for you to know life in a most wonderful way. Now, so having said that, we took a moment in Matthew, John, Luke, James, Psalm 23. And we took a moment to remind ourselves, and going just to verse 4, in the light of going through everything on our planet Earth, and things aren't getting any better, and whatever, and they aren't meant to get better at all. So it would be some kind of a dream we'd have to have that somehow history is getting better. It can't get better. It is programmed to go downhill. There's no way. Who gave the program? Who told us of the program? God did. Now, and God knows. So therefore, in Psalm 23 and verse 4, we said, walking, walk by faith and not by sight. All of us believers have to be walking. And we walk in the valley of the shadow of deep darkness, death, and evil. And we never get out of it. And we share together that David is able to say, I will fear no evil. Why won't you fear it? It's all around you. Because thou art with me. So, because God was there, that was enough. In the midst of all of the hard, dark, terrible things that could be, God is there. And he's there in authority, his rod, authority, rule, power. He's there in his staff to support, to care for. In other words, God is managing it, managing the whole ball of wax. He's managing it in the light of his authority, in the light of his wonderful care and support. And what does that do? That does a wonderful thing. It comforts us. It comforts us. Verse 4, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort. How do they comfort? The word comfort is to go and to bring to breathe again, to take a breath again, to be refreshed, to be revived, to be restored. You've been all worn out in the light of the dark and evil and worried and wanting, and you're restored. You're breathing. God gives you a breath to be able to see it again and think about everything rightly. Therefore, and then we added to that, because we had to, because that's the formula, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And that's what God does. It's his table. And here we are going walking, and there in front, said, David, there's a table. God, I have to have some way to get my resource, provision. I need to understand God's, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And there's his table. It's set to set a table, to put in order. He puts a table in order in front of him. In other words, it's God's table, perfectly the table set for David. The table is set for David. So as he goes forward, he's to understand that table is there, and he's going to go, and from that table, God is going to encourage the heart of David. As David looks on the other side of the table, there's God. God pointing to the table, which is a way to visualize his provision, his wonderful provision, the table in front of him. So there. Now, having said that, and he's going to go, and that table is meant to, thou shalt anoint my, in verse 4, verse 5, the presence of mine enemies, thou shalt anointest my head with oil. And remember, we shared the word anoint. That isn't like to the priest, setting him apart, a different word. The kings setting him apart, a different word. This word is the word full, fat, juicy. Think of your spinal column, animals, trees, bugs, plants. The pithy, smooth, juicy. The marrow, spinal column. Otherwise the bones, dead. You need the marrow. That's what gives it life, healthy. And we shared that together a couple of times to remind us what? God is going to go, and that David, if David, you work from that table, it is going to give you a wonderful, wonderful refreshment in the midst of being drawn and drained in every direction. Here we are, and David, look, and God wants from the table, because of his presence, he wants David to be healthy, happy, holy. He wants David to have a fatness, a healthiness, like we shared. Think of David's Daniel and his three friends. After 10 days, Daniel chapter 1, the faces of those four men were visually different than everyone else that does everything. God made them stand out, fat, fully fat, plush, wow, healthy. That's what he did. It's going to make you healthy. And in the process, and anointest my head with oil. And the head is what you see of all the different parts of your body when you're with people. You don't see their feet. You don't see their back, as it were. You see their face. The face is what you want to see. You don't want to keep looking at the feet. You want to see the face. How do you identify the person? By the face. And the face is housing, the head is housing the brain. And everything in the body, every bit of it is answering to the head. Here's my little cut that I showed you with my overhead the other day. I didn't know I was even doing it. Here it is. Now, that little cut sometimes just it's opening. That tells me it's opening. I don't have to wonder. I put it over here. And if that moves in the right way, I know it. I don't even have to see it. It tells my head. Thou anointest my head with oil. Fatty. Working. It's a healthy, conscious, a wonderful, wonderful sensitivity. Now, having said that, and then we went, and my cup runneth over. Now that adds to that fattiness, my cup runneth over. So, here's the table set, everything's arranged. God has put it all, and God is going to bring it all together in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And in the process of bringing it all together, he's going to say, my cup runneth over. Now, my cup, that portion that which is my portion, the cup, that which brings things together, and where do you put them? In a cup. That's how you get your drink. You get it in. You put all the out here, and you put it in the cup to drink it. The cup, the goblet, you take it. Where? How are you going to get it into your system? You're going to have to go by the cup, by the glass. You bring all the water together, and you drink it. It's a cup. What are you going to do? My cup runneth over. That's what it does. It overflows. Now, having said that, and thinking about a cup, so we want to do that. What do you mean by cup? How does that work? So, the unsaved people that don't know the Lord as their Savior, what do we know? The unsaved, all over the place, everywhere, unsaved people. And what are they doing? They have their life, depending on the country, the culture, the background, everything. Here's what we are in America, and we have our life, and here we are. And we go on about what we do, what we do. Each one does what they do in the light of job, family, everything. That's what they do. It's a world. We love it, and we do it. And we do all of that in a way. And to do it, here's a cup. And the unsaved people, unsaved people, they have everything in their life. It's whatever life, over here, this is their life. This is what they do. This is how they eat. This is what they put in the refrigerator. This is what they do. This is how they live. Everyone has it. Unsaved people doing what they want to do, work, homeschool, eating, coming, going. That's what they do. And they do that. And if you go back in history, back years ago, all the nations had gods, little g, G-O-D-S, little g, gods. All the nations had gods. That's what they did. They were very much into the gods. The gods of Rome, the gods of Assyria, they all fought based looking to their gods. That's what they did. And the gods, that's how they lived. And they feel that, like Islam, the gods. And so, in what do the gods do? What are the gods for? Well, remember, you don't need to, we did all that with demons. Where did demons ever come from? Where did all of this stuff happen? Way back in Genesis, but here they are, and the demons, gods. And they look to gods to go to war, for famine, Aztecs, Incas, Aztec, Mayans, etc. And they all look to their gods for everything. That's what they did. And they look to their gods, and they wanted their gods to influence their life. And the gods, what do the gods do? Well, the gods, all different ways to look at it. Remember, the gods looked at mankind, and they go, and the gods overseer the system, the country, the world, whatever they're doing, and they do it. And so they don't care, but they do. In fact, think of a spindle, where you wrap the thread around, and the gods go, us humans, and this is what they did, and they're looking for the gods that give water and rain and famine and pain and heartache and trouble and everything. The gods do it. And they take mankind like the spindle, and they wrap around them all the troubles of being on earth, being earthly. That's what they do. And you've heard the expression, harsh spinners. The gods, as we looked, are harsh spinners. They don't spin. They aren't interested in your super duper being wonderful. They just want to use the system of us humans. Now, that's the system. Back years ago, we don't have gods anymore. Hardly compared. That's when they used to believe in gods. Now we have the computer and intelligence, artificial intelligence, so we don't need gods. Anyway, now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so if you would, here they are as humans. So, now that's one. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, here they are, here's the average human. And here you are. And when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, when you do, you're like this, you have this, and when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God comes in. Comes in. What does that do? Oh, what a difference. Right now, I'm subject to the world system and everything, and that's what I do. I'm caught in it, my cup. But David, when you came to know the Lord as your Savior, when we came to know the Lord as our Savior, what did you do, God? We received him into our heart, and God, we have this old nature. That's true. We got it. But when you receive the Lord as your Savior, God brought in. We are living. We reap what we sow, and we just do whatever we do, everyone doing that which is right in his own eyes. But when I receive the Lord as my Savior, God brings in something into my heart that I never had, never considered. God in Christ brings into my heart the will of God, why he created me in the first place, to outwork his wonderful will in my life. God comes in and brings into my heart the will of God, the word of God, the life of God. That's what he does. I didn't have it. What are we reading? Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. It isn't running over very much with the good. It's all not very good. But when I receive the Lord as my Savior, that God came in to save us and do a wonderful thing for us in bringing us all of the benefits of thy rod and thy staff, the comfort, everything. It all came in. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Not from me. No. From him. That's why it runs over. So it isn't about me, and it isn't about you. It's about him. When you received him as your Savior. Now, having said that, does that help me? I'm trying to get you to see it. Otherwise, you're saying, how am I going to go and have all these good things? You and I are never going to have the good things. The only reason you ever get them and will get them and do have them is because Christ is in you. Now, exercise. My cup overfloweth. My cup overflows. My cup runneth over. All right. Over, if I can, in the light of that, over to Psalm 11. And in Psalm 11, the cup, the goblet, the portion, the lot, the pot, the share, what we have to, it's your part in life. That's what you end up with. It's assigned by the gods, etc. Now, but here we are. What does the world do? Back to this, the cup, like that. What is this person facing? Psalm 11, sliding down. If I can, but picking up in verse 2. For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, then that they may privily shoot at the upright and hot, sliding down to verse 5. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Verse 6, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. The world is reaping in their own life, whether they miss it, the absence of life. They're living in a state of spiritual death, and they're going to end up and with all the problems that come with it, and they're going to have to try to solve everything. The wicked don't have a very good future. No, their cup is missing God. Now, over if I can, Psalm 16. And in Psalm 16, picking up, if I may, what do we get when we come to know the Lord as our Savior? We'll go to verse 5. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and my cup, thou maintain my lot. You're maintaining my lot. My lot's able to be what? We're looking to you, God, as you go, and we're to enjoy the cup. The cup belongs to you, God, and thou maintainest. It's a participle. Yes, it's a present tense. It keeps a present tense. It's you're supporting, you're helping, you're holding. You're holding my lot. You're holding things. You have a wonderful, wonderful, you have a wonderful plan for my life. And I received you as my Savior to fulfill the plan of being saved, etc. And when I received you as my Savior, what are you going to do? You're going to maintain my lot, my portion. It isn't up to me to do it, God. It's up to you. You have to provide it. I don't have it. You do. God does. Now, and sliding down to verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth in flesh. Rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. I'm looking to God, trusting God, and God's going to go. Verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. God, you're bringing in. My cup overfloweth. God, you're bringing in a marvelous, marvelous, as I sit at the table, as I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, as I live and go down the corridor of time. God, I got all the stuff like everybody else, but the difference is that the heart has received the Lord as their Savior, and God brings in. Why? Because before the foundation of the earth, Christ died on the cross. That's why we're all created for the thousandth time. And God, when I received you as my Savior, all that you had in mind from the foundation of the world, you had me, I was never born. You had me born, and you had me die, and you have in your view, you see me in eternity right now. You see us in eternity. You see everything all at once. That's what you do. Now, God, I want that plan. I want what you want. Now, hang on. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over if I can to Psalm 116. And in Psalm 116, you would recall picking up if I can in the light of it all, sliding down in light of the context, etc. Picking up if I can in verse 10. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What? God, I looked at everything. I didn't have it clear. I didn't have it. To God, I looked at you. And verse 12 now. What in the light of it all? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What am I going to do, God? You're saving me. You have a wonderful plan for my life. And you're outworking it if I'll trust you. Therefore, what am I going to do? Verse 13. I will lift up the cup of salvation, plural. I'm going to lift up the cup of saving. God, you're going to save me around and around and again in the light of my comings and going and heart and difficulty. You're going to be delivering me, rescuing me. Verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. So what am I going to do? I'm going to look to God. Verse 14, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to render, you're going to render all the bounty, the benefits, the bounty. You're going to bring it to me. I'm going to take and lift it up. I'm going to lift it up. And the cup of salvations, God, and I'm looking for you to do a wonderful thing. And I'm going to call upon you, God. I'm going to look and call in the cup which contains my lot, that I lift up to you, my lot. It contains the cup, your plan, the lot, the pattern, the share. What is my life supposed to be like? God, here it is without you, here it is with you. Now, God, I don't understand how it goes. Everyone's different, and you have to wait. Each year go by, and you discover what more about your own life. Now, sliding over to Proverbs. And you remember in Proverbs and in chapter 16. And in chapter 16, if I can, in Proverbs 16, verse 1, the preparation of the preparations of the heart in man, and the answers of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Verse 3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Now sliding down. In verse 9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. In other words, as you read Proverbs 16, God is really involved. So when you come to the end, which you know, verse 16:33, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing, the judgment of it, the judging of it, the whole disposing, the outworking of it, the judgment thereof, disposing thereof is of the Lord. God, that's right. Now the unsaved are going to end up, and the wicked are going to face on earth one kind and then in the future another. But the saved are going to have a whole nother one, a whole nother way, a whole nother. So the lot, my lot was like this. I came to the Lord as my Savior, and it is now able, if I would understand it and exercise it, I have a wonderful, wonderful Savior, and he's going to exercise his saving grace, salvations, deliverance. He's going to go and do all kinds of things as I live through Monday, Tuesday, week after week, problem after problem, issue after issue. What am I going to do? And God's going to help me get through it because he has a wonderful plan. I don't have a plan, but he does. He has a plan. And he knows. He knows the valley of the shadow of death. He knows all this. The Lord is cast into my lap. It's mine. Each one of you have your own laps. There's no one here that doesn't have their own lap. You've got your own lap. And that's where God's working, in your lap, in your lap. Now, everyone has their own, but you got your own lap. You do. Now, so keeping that in front if you can, as we're going down. Now, in the process, and I want you to lock that in so you see it, the validity of it, and the wonderfulness of it. Over to Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26, and picking up, if I may, in verse 39. You're familiar with it. God in the Garden of Gethsemane before he goes to the cross. And you will note, he had an awesome, awesome relationship to God. But he was there. He was there in his humanity, born in Bethlehem of Judea, to save us. And that is not something to bear my sin and yours in his own body on the tree. That was not something he looked forward to in that sense. It was an awesome thing. Now, God, how did you handle God's, the Father's lot for you? And in verse 38, then said he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Truly ye hear, and watch with me. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will, my cup. My cup is to go to the cross, Jesus said. You have your cup. My cup is to bear your sin in my body on the tree. That's my cup. God, my God, to forsake me. Not my will, but your will. And verse 40, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto the Peter, what thou couldst not watch with me 1 hour, and they couldn't, and they didn't. Watch and pray that you will not enter temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. God, how can we understand this? We can't even stay awake to see it. Peter, James, and John. Verse 42, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. So, you got to see the cup? He had a cup. He bore in his own body what I have, my problem. He bore my problem in his own body so that I could know him as my Savior. That's what he did. He bore my sin in his own body on the tree. Now, having said that, so that I can have a relationship, 1 Corinthians and chapter 10. And you remember, 1 Corinthians 10, picking up, please, in the light of it all, verse 15. I'll read verse 14 even. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as unto wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion, the fellowship, the union, taking, sharing in common the blood of Christ, the bread which we break, is it not the communion, the fellowship, the union, sharing together of the body of Christ. Is it not? What were they doing? God had made possible this relationship. 1 Corinthians 10:16. He made possible a fellowship, a togetherness. He made it possible. It's my cup. God, he bore in his own bodiometry his own cup so that he could be in my cup. He bore his cup so that he could be in your cup and be saved. That's what he did. So you could be saved and have what? That which you never could have and no one can have. The gods, little g, are useless. Useless. But God is going to judge all those that are leaving him out of the picture. You can't do that. Now God said, you just can't do that. Now, so having said that, in the cup, to deliver us my cup, a cup of salvations, God's wonderful, wonderful fullness. Now, having said that, a little exercise, I guess, for a minute to see it. Over to Philippians, which you know. Remember what God's going to do? The cup, anoint my head with oil, fat, satisfy, healthy, holy, happy. And God's going to take my cup and make it overflowing, wonderfully overflowing. And so when you come to Philippians, and as you read, God's just saying it all over. Philippians chapter 1, watch. Don't have to go far. Philippians 1, verse 21. Well, let me do before that. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So when I received him as my Savior, God brought in all the table. So what are you saying, David? He prepares a table before me, and my cup is overflowing. David, were you blessed? Yes, he was blessed. In the lousy world, he was blessed. Why? Because God put a cup in front of him. It was overflowing. Why is it overflowing? Hang on. Philippians and chapter 1, verse 21. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So however you cut the cookie, we're going to go. Chapter 2. We say it all the time, but we need to. Wherefore, my beloved, 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But, I used to do it all by my lonesome. Now I'm looking to God. Verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God has brought in Christ, the will of God, the word of God, the blessing of God, the benefits of God, the wonderful future in God. He brought it into your heart when you got saved in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And God's going to do it. Therefore, chapter 3, verse 12, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after. What are you doing, Paul? I'm running the race. I'm walking by faith in the valley of the shadow of death. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend, to gain, to have all the benefits, to possess the benefits, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Christ wants to do a wonderful thing in my life. He brings this wonderful person, and I need to have that. I want that. I want God's wonderful working in my little old heart. Verse 13, brethren, I count it not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. What are you doing? I'm pressing, verse 14, to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What are you doing? You're going to go up, not level. We shared these. You don't want to do this. Well, I was saved. I was baptized. See? Down. No. No, You wanted to be doing this every day. You keep going, 45 degree angle. Keep going up, 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 not down. That's what you want to do. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, in closing over, if I can, to Ephesians. And you could do the same thing in Ephesians, but doing just one thing in the light of it all. Just an illustration to show you the overflow. Simple illustration. Now, so therefore, I'm going to go directly, if I can, down to verse 18. We may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. So, A, your heart's going to be full, and overflowing. It passes all knowledge. You can't understand it. God's going to fill the heart. He says, I'm going to understand. It's full. No, you aren't. It's just going to keep full, and it never goes down. It's in God's fullness. Wonderful. Now, hanging on, if I can, verse 20. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now that's, you read that? Did you read that? I'm going to read it to you differently. I'm going to give it to you differently. Now, I'm going to take it, think of what you can, actually a pyramid like this. Pyramid. And you're going to start up at the top, and it's going to grow. And you go, as you come down, it gets wider and wider and wider and wider. That's God. Overflowing. Now, verse 20. Ask. Ask and think. All that we ask or think. Above all that we ask or think. Abundantly above all that we ask or think. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. What? Just do this. God. Now who can, no one writes like that. Only God can speak like that. God said, I'm going to show you a pile and then a bigger pile and a bigger pile. It's going to get bigger and bigger and better and better. That's what I'm going to show you. It's overflowing. See? It's overflowing. That's what it is. Yeah. You could read that verse and, yeah. Read it slowly. There's no way. No one speaks. God, what are you saying? I'm doing. The cup is getting full. It's going to overflow. Abundantly, exceedingly, overflowing. Above all that you can ask or think. That's what it's going to do. What are you doing? I'm trusting the God who said that in the light of our daily problems that we live in this whole nature, in this world. We're trusting Christ. And that's who am I trusting? God's will, God's word. I walk through the valley. He anoints my head with oil. And you can see how fatty it's going to be. And my cup overflows. You can't see anything, no. But my little heart, our little heart does. It overflows. In the midst of our poverty, we are exceedingly rich. Wonderfully rich. I gotta quit. I hope you got a little bit. Thank you.